Hello, and welcome to Eidolon Rock, a playtest RPG campaign for this game that I wrote with the help of my friend. I'm Luke, I'm your host and your GM. Maybe I'll get good at these introductions eventually. I'm new at this, leave me alone.
Give it time, you're all good.
That was Molly who talked.
Hi!
We've also got, and that was Lexi who laughed.
Yeah, that's me, hi.
We're also joined by Dustin.
Hello.
And by Maxie.
I can't record this podcast without getting closer.
Okay.
Oh.
Ooh.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, my mic is it's a little soft, so
Make sure to maintain distancing.
Yeah.
Social distance from your mic, please.
It's really a shame we're not releasing this like a month ago, because that would really be at the height of, like, listen, everyone's going stir crazy in their houses. By the time this releases, everyone will have just like mashed up everything in their home into like war paint to put on their faces and start like fighting each other in the streets.
It's true.
Listen, I don't get the big deal. I've been basically social distancing for a year at this point.
I've been basically social distancing my entire life.
Everybody chill. It's all good, bro. Anyway,
we're here to play a game that me and Molly made.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's good? We don't know. We'll find out by playing it. If these are releasing in the order I think they are, then you've already heard the Eidolon Pop episode where we created characters. This is going to be the same thing, but with different people.
Yes. Wild.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing some character creation with the four playbooks that were not used in Pop. I guess let's just get right on into it here. I've got a spreadsheet in front of me, and Molly's name is the first one that's written here. So, Molly, tell me about your character.
My character's name is Virginia Valentine.
Virginia Valentine. All right.
She is a former card dealer at a casino, but was caught tipping the odds in the favor of the players rather than the house.
Oh, dang.
So she had to stop working at the casino. They didn't like that.
Okay. I guess we should also do some setup for what this campaign is.
Yeah.
We've not gone into deep detail, but what we've settled on so far is that all of you are members of a criminal gang in Las Vegas that works out of a casino.
Mm-hmm.
And as of the start of the campaign, you do not have your Eidolons yet. Also, right after we finished recording the first Pop episode, I learned that we've been saying Eidolon wrong for like a year and a half.
I refuse to say it any other way, honestly.
The correct pronunciation is Eidolon, and I will not be saying it that way.
Stupid. That's bullshit. I challenge the definition of correct here, given I have never heard that pronunciation in my life.
Yeah. If you, like, go to any dictionary, that's how it says to pronounce it.
Yeah,
the dictionary does not define my life, Luke.
It doesn't define my... What I've settled on is Eidolon is actually a homonym for Eidolon.
Yeah, your game, your word.
I've been saying Eidolon since FF9 came out, and that's how it's going to stay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, sorry, Molly, I didn't mean to cut in on you. So yeah, that's Virginia Valentine. Your playbook is the wild card, which basically means that your Eidolon is constantly changing in form and what it can do.
Yes, and it will be a constant shift. I think I was going to end up going with the name of the Eidolon being Only the Good Die Young.
Okay. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that.
Only the good die young. And yeah.
It's really good for like the setup of our group.
Yeah, see, I figured it was thematic.
Yeah. Like we said in the last episode, all the pop Eidolons are named after pop songs. All of yours are going to be named after rock songs.
Yes.
And we're going to be real fast and loose with those definitions. I'm not here to tell someone what is and isn't a rock song.
Don't tell me that Billy Joel can't write rock songs. Fuck that.
No, absolutely not. the wild card is kind of a complicated playbook. We were saying before we started recording, maybe it'll turn out to be a bad idea.
We're going to find out, but it shifts between all of the other playbooks as I use abilities. So I usually generally, based on what we've done before, usually 2 to 3 moves if I'm spending overdrive, and then my class will shift to a different class and I will be doing something else.
Correct. Yeah, in the wildcard playbook, we wrote this. Note, we do not recommend using this playbook if you're new to Eidolon or to RPGs in general. The wildcard could hypothetically cycle through every single playbook in a single session. In order to keep from dragging down the pace of the game, anyone using this book should know in advance how their Eidolon looks and behaves as each playbook. You should have Eidolon powers and physical descriptions prepared for every playbook. This is a courtesy to your fellow players, and being prepared is a form of playing in good faith.
Yeah, and also part of that, I mean, I don't have everything yet. We're going to get there.
Sure.
But, you know, for now, that is...
You're probably okay for now, and also as one of the creators of the game, I trust you to come up with stuff on the fly a little more than I would an average player.
Yeah, I have a lot of fun ideas for various... various forms. So,
yeah.
We got some moves.
Yeah. So, your Eidolon power, because it's constantly changing in your playbook, it's just listed as my Eidolon is.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
So, you have 5 base overdrive because you use it as a currency constantly, 7 HP like most classes. Your damage and armor change every time you change playbooks.
Yep.
So then we get to your stats. Do you want to go with the default stats for the wild card, or do you want to change them up at all?
No, I think I liked the default stats that we had.
Okay.
So 0 power, 0 elegant, and then -1, Jen, I cannot remember what Jen is.
Genius.
Genius, right, yes, Jean. Yeah. 1 glamorous and 2 bizarre.
All right. Oh, that's what that is. That's a default distribution. I thought those were like additional... modifiers?
Nope. All right. Oh, no, yeah, that is the recommended stat distribution based on, like, what stats your playbook uses most.
Oh.
You don't have to use them, but it's what I recommend.
Okay, all right, I got it now. I'm going to need
like,
to make some changes.
Pretty much everybody in the pop group tweaked them at least a little bit.
I'm going to need to make some changes.
Do you have a greatest fear in mind for Virginia?
Virginia's greatest fear is her old casino catching up with her.
Okay.
Because she kind of left in a hurry.
Okay, all right. I'm trying to think of the right... Can you think of, like, a snappy... Like, the shortest way to phrase that that you can think of?
I guess it'd go, like, her old boss comes back.
Okay. Catches up to her, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you have a decent number of starting moves.
Yes.
The wild card, because they're pretty much all dedicated to... making the wild card's gimmick work. You have Deal In. At the beginning of each session, select a new active playbook. Roll plus bizarre. On a 10+, you can choose any playbook. On a 7-9, 3 playbooks are chosen randomly, and you can choose from one of them. Or choose from them. Okay. Having a hard time reading my own writing.
It's fine.
On a 6-minus, your active playbook is randomly assigned. Your Eidolon's damage, armor, and range are determined by your active playbook. You can fill in the blanks in your Eidolon's ability however you'd like and describe how your Eidolon changes to suit the playbook. Do not include the wild card in the pool of playbooks that your active playbook is chosen from. So, in addition to that, there is also a rule in the wild card playbook that at creation, you can decide... Do you want the Beast, the Inhuman, and the Veteran to be in the pool of playbooks you can get?
I don't think the Veteran makes sense for this one. I think we can keep the Inhuman, but I don't think I want to keep the Beast.
Okay, so that'll be, I think, 6. Yeah, 6 classes, because we're taking out 3. Yeah.
Taking out 2.
We're also taking out the wild card.
Oh, yes, obviously.
Yeah. All right, yeah, so those will be the 6 that you can possibly be. You also get... Make a play. You can use any of your active playbook's starting moves, and you can spend 1 overdrive to use any of its advanced moves. If the move has its own overdrive cost, you'll need to pay that as well. When the conditions are met for a passive advanced move in your active playbook, you can spend 2 overdrive to activate it. You can't use any moves with constant continuous effect. So that's kind of the trade-off. You can use any of the moves from the active playbook you have, but it costs overdrive to do.
Yep.
As opposed to if you actually just picked one of those playbooks... You would only have a limited number of those moves that you could use.
Right.
You also have New Hand. If you ever reach 0 overdrive, immediately deal in and gain 3 overdrive.
So this is where the constant shifting comes in.
And then you have Card Shark. If you scrap or bombard using your Eidolon, you can roll plus Biz instead of plus POW or plus Ellie.
Because before, when we didn't have that, the wild card never hits
because
anything.
Because it doesn't have good POW Ellie, and you could give it one or the other, but then if it... switches to a playbook that doesn't use it,
but then if you got the bad class, it is more interesting this way to at least let them compete.
And then at level one, you also get one advanced move from the wildcard playbook. Do you have one in mind?
I think what I was going to do... I will pick one before this episode is over.
All right, I'll come back to you. In that case, for now, let's move on to Maxi, because you're the next person I've got written down.
Hell yeah.
All right. Yeah, tell me about your character.
My character is Harvey D. Godlove, and he is the Pinball Prince of Las Vegas.
Fucking oh God.
I just want to make sure I heard you correctly. It's Harvey D. Godlove.
Harvey D. Godlove? The D stands for danger.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God!
You have the Virtuoso playbook, which is your character is basically so good at using some kind of tool or weapon that it becomes imbued with the power of their soul, and it becomes an Eidolon.
Yep.
So what's your Eidolon's name, and what is it?
So its name is Here It Goes Again.
Okay.
And it is a real physical pinball.
Okay. All right. So just like a golf ball-sized ball bearing.
Pretty much.
A pinball's not a...
Well, a little smaller than a golf ball, but yeah.
Yeah.
You got the idea.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to ask that too, Molly. What does Only the Good Die Young look like?
It's so hard to pick that because it's constantly shifting.
Sure, but it doesn't have... Like, maybe it is just always different, but does it have, like, kind of a base form?
I think it's kind of like a shadow.
Okay.
Kind of lurking behind. It's a little brighter than a shadow usually is. It gives off a little bit of light, which is weird, but...
Okay.
And if, no, you know what it looks like? It looks like stained glass.
Alright, yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And is it just kind of humanoid?
Yeah, it's basically Virginia's shadow.
I see. So it's like Virginia's shadow looks like stained glass.
Yes.
That rules. And Maxi, so the Virtuoso Eidolon power is... My Eidolon is a real physical blank, and I'm so good with it that when I use it, I can blank. Mm-hmm. So how are you filling those blanks in with, Here It Goes Again?
So it is a real physical pinball,
mm-hmm.
and I'm so good with it that I can launch it with incredible speed and precision using nothing but my bare hands.
Launch it with incredible speed and precision.
Assuming I don't fuck up the roll.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Of course.
The good old fast and precise power that JoJo protagonists love.
Yeah.
If there's one thing I know from watching Arcs 4 and 5 and hearing about Arc 3, it's that if you want to do good in JoJo, you need to have a ranged ability that relies heavily on ricocheting or similar, you know, fancy arcs, anything like that. Just a real good thing to have.
The whole horse of pinball.
You made an entire power set off of that one episode where JoJo, like, throws rocks at a rat.
That episode does rule.
This is going to be a real relatable podcast for me, huh?
Don't worry, I'm with you, Lexi. Don't even stress.
No, don't listen, as we actually build our story, the explicit JoJo references will fall by the wayside.
Of course.
So yeah, the Virtuoso has 2 base overdrives, 7 HP, 1 damage, 1 armor. And then, did you want to go with the default stats or shake them up?
The spread I had in mind was 0 POW, 2 elegance, -1 genius.
All right, so far we got a real dumbass brigade going.
And then 0 glamour, 1 bizarre.
1 bizarre, okay. All right, and then do you have a greatest fear in mind for the pinball king of Las Vegas?
Please, I'm only the prince. I haven't been crowned yet.
I'm sorry.
His greatest fear is ending up a loser. Some would say he already is, but this is all very subjective.
All right.
You fear losing faith in yourself.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
All right, and your starting moves are tactile. Your Eidolon is always severed if you are not currently touching it, and it cannot become severed in any other way. Anyone who holds your Eidolon can use its damage and armor if they choose, but cannot use any of your moves. So because your power is all around throwing it, I think severed basically just means your Eidolon is inert. Yeah, it's been like, you know, you've lost your stand power. It's gone away. I think we can, you know...
What I basically had in mind for this was, you know, if I throw it, it's generally going to come back to my hands.
Yeah,
unless
I think
somebody...
we can stipulate that it... Like, while it still has momentum from your throw, it's still active.
Yeah, but if it comes to a stop, if somebody catches it, something like that, and I can't throw it again, that's an issue.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, we also have, if your Eidolon is primarily a weapon, gain plus one damage. If it isn't, gain plus one armor. It sounds like this is more of a weapon, but you tell me.
Yeah, no, I would say this is more of a weapon than anything else.
All right, so that means you have two damage, not one. And I would say that you cannot use a ball bearing to heal other people, so you're not getting the healing touch move.
That's reasonable.
I think the pop group got all of the healing classes, so this is going to be interesting.
It'll be great.
Did not think about team composition when we were signing the playbooks.
That's for losers.
Hey, you know what? This is supposed to be a playtest. I'm going to say that's a good thing. You also have Captivating Mastery. You are an artist with your Eidolon. When someone watches you do something spectacular with it, gain plus one forward to the next time you dazzle them. Heirloom. Your Eidolon's concrete form means that it can outlive you. When you die, name the person you choose to inherit it. They become the Eidolon's new master and can use any move on your sheet by spending one overdrive. And then you also have Final Solo. This move can only be used once and can only be used if you're level 4 or higher. You use your Eidolon with such furious intensity that it shatters. Automatically roll a 12 on any move, then sever your Eidolon and reduce your HP to 1. Your Eidolon remains severed for the rest of the session. At the start of the next session, your Eidolon will take on a new shape, freed from its physical form. Choose a new playbook for your character, lower your level by 2, then take a number of advanced moves from your new playbook equal to your level.
Sounds great.
Basically, if you're in a real tight spot, you can get a free, like, perfect success in exchange for having to respec and lose a couple levels.
Mm-hmm.
And then do you have an advanced move in mind?
Yeah, I believe I picked out Recall.
Okay, so Recall is you can call out to your Eidolon wherever it is, and it will attempt to fly to you. Roll plus Ellie. On a 10+, your Eidolon will effortlessly navigate towards you and come into your control in one smooth motion. On a 7-9, the GM chooses one. It'll take some time for it to figure out how to get to you, or it takes a wild, reckless path to reach you, breaking through anything in its way. So yeah, that seems to fit with what you have in mind.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And yeah, that is everything for you for now. We'll circle back to Ties once we've got everyone set up here. Dustin, how you doing?
Pretty good.
What is your character? What's their deal?
My character's name is Chris Masters. Their deal is, they're kind of... Okay, so they're like a college kid who wants to be a punk, but is still kind of a normie.
Okay.
I'm not sure if y'all are familiar with, like, people who make urban exploration YouTube videos.
Oh my god.
I'm familiar enough, I'd say.
But Chris...
I have a vague understanding of what we're going for here, yeah.
Yeah, Chris wants to be that kind of YouTube celebrity.
Okay, okay.
He's got a few videos uploaded. He's got like a few dozen followers, but ultimately is still not super good at it. But yeah, that's Chris. He's kind of a loser, but he desperately wants internet approval.
Great. How did he end up a member of a gang?
He's really good at hacking.
Okay. Just as a additionally.
Well, I mean, you gotta be good at breaking into places and
sure.
Also at, electronic security systems if you want to be, like, a real hardcore urban explorer, you know?
I'd imagine there's probably a component, too, of being able to do research to, like, figure out, okay, what are places I can actually get to or would be interesting to film?
Yeah. Also, like, YouTube isn't exactly paying well right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I was gonna ask, too, how did Harvey D. Godlove end up with, We haven't said the name of the gang yet, the Alt Drive Jawbreakers.
So I'm thinking this probably ties into one of his ties.
Okay.
I suspect that his father figure, Jack Stern, probably had some underworld connections, brought him in when he needed some cash, or to help him with some scam he was running.
Okay, okay. All right, just adding that character's name to my spreadsheet of every NPC. All right. Dustin, what is the name of your Eidolon? It is an infiltrator.
Yeah.
Which is all about sneaking, being invisible.
My Eidolon's name is Iron Spy.
Iron Spy. Is that all one word?
Yes.
Okay. And what does it look like?
Iron Spy looks like a sort of, like a wireframe of a human being, like a female form, almost like liquid metal. So, kind of like the T-1000, but if you put it through a paper shredder. And it's right. got a...
Yeah, like the fighting wireframe team from Smash Brothers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But it's also got, like, a metal core in the center that, like, crackles with lightning.
Okay, okay.
And its power is that my Eidolon can cloak itself from detection by merging with any metallic object and attack from hiding by frying them with bolts of lightning generated by its electric core.
I'm just going to put frying them with bolts of lightning, and the electric core part is flavor that we all know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just to keep the actual power a little more, you know, snappy.
All right.
So you have 2 base overdrive, 7 HP, 2 damage, 0 armor, and then were you going with the default stats or shaking them up?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how much I want to shake it up. I'm keeping the -1 power and 0 biz. I'm also going with 0 glam, but I can't decide whether I want 2 elegance and 1 genius, or to swap those 2 around.
Keep in mind, 2 of us are fucking idiots.
Yeah.
And, true. Yeah, no, spoiler alert, but my character's not gonna be particularly...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see, because I was thinking genius, but also if I'm a good hacker, it makes sense for elegance to be 2, because that's what the pick... That's what my starting move keys off of.
Hey, Molly, I have a question.
Yeah.
Why is Picklock's hack consoles...
not genius? I was literally about to message you and say, why isn't this plus genius?
That...
It is
it
now.
Just, yeah, I think it should be genius, actually.
Okay, well, that makes this decision simpler then.
That said, your vanish move does still need elegance.
Yeah, so. That's true.
Which
but,
is fine.
I
it's
mean,
still a plus.
Yeah, but on also my character is still kind of a rookie at urban exploration, so I'm good at breaking into places. Not amazing at, you know, hiding from the police yet.
Totally.
Sure.
So
okay,
yeah.
So just sorry. Run me through in order what your stats are.
All right. So -1 power, 1 elegance, 2 genius. 0 glamour, 0 bizarre.
Okay, perfect. And do you have a greatest fear?
I think my greatest fear is, like, no one caring about me.
Damn, okay, yeah.
Like, I just exist and no one gives a shit.
Gotcha.
Ain't that the way.
Heavy.
And then you just have 2 starting moves. Vanish, when no one's watching your Eidolon, you can have it use its Eidolon power to cloak itself. Roll plus Ellie. On a 10 plus, hold 2. On a 7 to 9, hold 1. Spend 1 hold anytime you make a move with your Eidolon. If an NPC investigates the area that your Eidolon is hiding, spend 1 hold to remain undetected. If a player investigates the area with the intent of finding your Eidolon, spend 1 hold if they roll a 7 plus, or 2 hold if they roll a 10 plus. Once you run out of hold, your Eidolon immediately stops cloaking. And then you also have Picklock's hack consoles. You have the ability to disarm security measures and pick locks. Roll plus Ellie. Or roll plus Jen.
Yes, we're
sorry.
Changing that, right?
Yep.
Right now.
Roll plus Jen. On a 10 plus, choose 3. On a 7 to 9, choose 2 of the following. You stay out of sight or don't become visible if you're vanished. Your tinkering doesn't set off any alarms. Or you don't break the lock or device. Or you don't lose your tools. And yeah, that's what you have for starting moves. Do you have an advanced move in mind?
I do. I'm taking Ambush. When you successfully attack an unsuspecting enemy, deal +1 damage.
All right. Good deal. Okay, and that gets you set up for now. So Lexi, moving on to you.
Yes.
What's your character?
Well, I am playing the Beast, so my character is just an animal.
Okay.
Which, you know, makes characterization real fun. I was kind of toying with the idea of letting the group name my character.
Oh, I see. Like a yeah.
As an animal, I wouldn't necessarily have a name of my own.
Okay, that makes sense. Sure.
So yeah. So I am playing a fox.
Yep. Wow, that's a surprise.
Yeah, I'm shocking everyone in this call. I'm sure.
I didn't want to say it, but.
So the idea for my character is she was just an ordinary fox that lived in. Basically, the alleys near the hideout probably saw her around a bunch. When she awakened to her Eidolon happened to be after having snuck into your hideout because somebody left the door unlocked and she thought she could get some food. And so y'all kind of witnessed that and were kind of her...
So one thing I will say, the campaign notes I've got at least have y'all getting your Eidolons in like an hour from now.
Okay, well, I mean, there's not a whole lot I can play
Look,
with my
fox,
character.
The
if
fox
I don't.
Can be there. But we yeah, we yeah, love the fox. We hang out with Absolutely. The fox. It's fine.
All right. So, yeah. So, my Eidolon, I've decided is called Little Lies.
Okay.
And it helps me pursue my animal urges by convincing whatever targets I choose to believe a small lie that would specifically something that they would want to be true or be inclined to believe in.
Ooh.
Okay.
So as the example when I came up with this, let's say there is a guy working at a hot dog cart,
uh-huh.
and I want his hot dogs.
Right, of course.
Yeah. My Eidolon will basically, whisper in his ear that the redhead he's been eyeing across the street was eyeing him and gave him a little, come over here motion. And he will believe that so completely that he will be inclined to, go over and introduce himself.
And you ransack the hot dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of paraphrase what you said just to kind of shorten it. I've just got my Eidolon sure. helps me pursue my animal urges by convincing a target of something they want to be true. Does that capture
yeah,
what
no, that's perfect.
For? Okay. You have got 2 base overdrive, 7 HP, 1 damage, 1 armor, but as part of your creation, you choose one of the following based on what kind of animal you are. Ferocious, plus 1 damage, thick hide, plus 1 armor, massive, plus 2 HP, perceptive, set your range to 100 feet, or tenacious, gain plus 1 base overdrive. So which of these do you want?
Perceptive, I feel, makes the most sense.
Okay.
Unless you're just like a dire fox.
So your Eidolon yeah. can go up to 100 feet away from you, just lying all over the place.
Damn.
All right. So are you going with the default stats or changing them up?
Yeah, I figured since this is a playtest, it'd make sense to, test out the default stat bar.
Sure. So that is 2 power, 0 elegance, 0 genius, -1 glamorous, and 1 bizarre. And do you have a greatest fear?
I'm going to say once awakening, my greatest fear is going back to a fox level intelligence.
All right.
Damn, do not get flowers for Algernon.
All right, so yeah, we picked your animal quality. That's perceptive, and it ups your range. You also get to choose 1 instinctive desire, food, shelter, dominion, or freedom. Which of those do you want?
Definitely food.
All right.
You did mention hot
urban,
dogs.
Urban animal growing yeah. up just, trying to get whatever they can.
Absolutely.
She hungry.
So then these are your starting moves. Beast Tongue. You can talk to any non-human animal as well as any human you have a tie with. If your Eidolon is severed, you can only speak with members of your own species, which your Eidolon will be severed at the start of this, so there's going to be a lot of body language until we get to the part where everyone gets Eidolons. Feral. When you satisfy an instinctive desire, gain 1 overdrive. Take plus 1 forward when making a move in service of fulfilling an instinctive desire. But on a 7-9, your actions will inconvenience or endanger your allies. And inconspicuous. Anyone who doesn't recognize you and doesn't see your Eidolon will assume that you're an ordinary animal unless you give them reason to believe differently. And then, do you have an advanced move in mind?
Yeah, so I was thinking that play dumb would probably be my best.
Okay, so
especially
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, especially given the nature of my Eidolon, deceiving people, if, say, that deception fails or doesn't work out and they might get a little suspicious, mm-hmm. A chance to be like, well, what, you can't possibly expect just, this cute little animal to have done anything.
Yeah. So that is going to be, play dumb. If someone begins to suspect that you're not an ordinary animal, you can try to act like one to throw them off your trail. Roll plus glam. On a 10+, they'll dismiss their concerns and ignore you. On a 7-9, they'll buy into your act, but also decide that you're being a nuisance and try to remove you from the area. Yeah, I like it.
My favorite part about this is that you're terrible at that.
Oh yeah, you have -1 glam.
It's gonna
so
be
this
good.
This pizza just fell into my lap. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, have you ever seen a dog when you catch them in the act of like stealing food?
Oh yeah, I've had Great Danes all my life. They're terrible at it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. It's like, what? I'm not holding anything. What are you talking
my
about?
My mouth is empty. This is my normal mouth.
Definitely not just like holding a random lemon in there for some reason, because yeah. I'm a fucking dog.
Y'all, what did we name this fox who hangs around out back that I feed french fries to?
Well, if it's...
I'm putting all you on
if it likes hot dogs, would we have named it maybe Chili? Like
for I chili do like dog? Chili.
Chili's good.
It's named Chili.
Like Chili. Lexi, I can't believe you put this on us. You cannot even name your own character.
I mean, if you guys really can't decide one, I did.
No,
I
like
a...
Chili, though.
Yeah, it sounds like Chili.
I do
is
like
decided.
Chili.
All right, yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you have an objection, we don't have to name it Chili.
Shout out to the cat, Chili.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Zach, who was going to play in this until he had to bow out.
Rip.
Molly, did you ever come up with an advanced move to take?
Yeah, I'm taking Living Luck. I don't know why I wasn't just going to take it.
Oh, I don't think I ever described what my Eidolon looks like.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So, my Eidolon is basically a humanoid form based on an animal's perception of people. So it's a very abstract form of a woman in an elegant dress, like, you know, a high roller.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But with preserving the, you know, basic elements of a fox. So.
I gotcha.
Snout, tail, ears.
It's a fox furry.
So fox it's a fox girl.
Yeah.
And yeah, Living Luck is if you roll a 12 plus or 4 minus, a spirit embodying the concept of luck will emerge from the undertow as described by the GM. On a 12 plus, they'll be friendly and give you a blessing, take plus 1 forward. On a 4 minus, they'll be antagonistic and give you a curse, take minus 1 forward. The luck spirit will remain in the real world until you roll a 5 through 11.
And I'm taking this move mostly to torture Luke. and myself, really.
Yeah. All right, so that is most of the character creation done. We just have to do ties. So each of you are going to need 3 things that your character is tied to. These can be other people, they can be organizations, concepts, ideals. At least one of them needs to be another party member, and at least one of them needs to be not another party member.
So I immediately have an idea for one of my ties, specifically Lexi's character. Like, if I'm urban exploring, like, I've probably stumbled onto an area where Lexi was just, like, sleeping or trying to scrounge for food. And, like... my character probably would have... I'm trying to think, like, what should... should the ties be just, like, where we met someone, or what action...
The tie is literally just what you're tied to, so it would just be Chili.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I feel like I had to have a tie to Chili, just because, like, I stumbled across... Chili's pronouns, she, her, or...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I probably stumbled across her during one of my explorations... maybe, like, gave her a treat or something, and...
Yeah, that's my thought, is you fed me, and then I kind of followed you, hoping to get more.
Yeah, it's like, well, clearly, this person has more food if I just sneak behind them, and I just forgot to, like, lock the door afterwards, after coming back. And that's what let Chili in. And then suddenly, all our snacks were gone. All
right, sounds good. Let's just go around the table, starting with Dustin, then, and go to Lexi. What is something Chili has a tie to? So ties can be mutual. You could have a tie to Chris, just like they have a tie to you, but you don't have to.
I think that makes sense, both from the interaction and just from the nature of wanting to my character to have some tie to the group.
Yeah.
I would say I also have a tie.
Well, let's go one at a time and go to Molly next.
Oh, okay.
I have a tie to. I'm trying to think. I don't want to make the player character one first. I'm trying to think of what the casino I left is called.
Okay.
Do we only have real casinos in our fake Las Vegas?
God, no.
Okay.
You could pick a real casino if you want, but by no means do you have to.
The fucking Caesar's Palace.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, go with the... Yeah, I love... It's perfect because it's so ostentatious, just in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, during... Like, once we're actually playing, the way you will create new ties is by sacrificing something important to you for the sake of something else. The thing you sacrificed for becomes a tie. So if you have this tie to start, that implies you've sacrificed something for Caesar's palace before. What is that?
Employment.
Okay.
That's not true.
Yeah.
You sacrificed your labor value in exchange for a paycheck.
Damn. You know what? Let me think on that then.
Okay.
So I think that Virginia has hung out with Harvey in the past. Okay. I think I could make that tie.
All right. Yeah.
Not that they maybe particularly like each other.
Sure.
But they have a tie. They've been doing this for a while. They've been working together.
Maybe not friends, but you're comrades.
Associates.
Maybe Harvey hung around the roulette table on occasion.
Right.
You know, they say that Jack actually knew how to cheat at roulette. Well, not beat the house. Because if you know the weight of the ball, and you know exactly how fast the wheel is going...
Terrific.
Yeah, you know, they could have done some work on that.
Yeah, Maxie, should I just go ahead and put a tie for Jack Stern in for you for your first one?
Go for it.
All right. Is that Stern with an A or no?
That's just S-T-E-R-N.
All right, cool. And then, Dustin, that brings us back to you for your second tie.
Okay, let's see. I almost want to... I feel like I should do a NPC or an organization or something for this.
Okay.
Maybe my tie is with like a security guard or someone who works for like a place I like to explore. Maybe a security guard for like a nearby amusement park that I'll like sneak into after hours just to like hang around there. And, like, he knows me.
What's the name of that, like, is it the Space Needle thing in Las Vegas that is, like, a roller coaster around the top?
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I'm not sure what the name of
that
thing
is. That seems like a cool place to explore urbanly.
Yeah. Maybe he's, like, a security guard there who's the night shift, and, like...
Uh-huh.
Where we got to know each other, and,
yeah,
like, he's cool with me. Like, he turns a blind eye to me because he knows I won't do anything, like, really stupid.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what his name would be.
Oh, man, that roller coaster doesn't exist anymore. It does in the fiction of this game.
Yeah, I mean, fuck it, we don't, like, this place probably doesn't have, probably has, like, lax safety restrictions for...
Yeah, the high roller was shut down in 2005.
That's a shame.
I think we found the splinter point between our reality and that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? I do actually know the splinter point, and it was around 2005.
Oh, nice. Shit.
Damn.
You know what? You go in there because it's like the bones of it. They've never taken it down. It's just there.
Oh, that's also cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, maybe it's not actually working.
Okay,
so
yeah, that is
bother.
The Strat Hotel is what that place is called.
Oh, man.
It's short for Stratosphere.
I want this guy to be named Carl, but I'm not sure what his last name is.
Maybe you don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe
we're not on last name terms just because, like, we like it better that way. I just know him as Carl, the security guard who's cool.
It's a liability.
All right, Carl, security guard at the Strat. That's
I'm gonna say Carl with a K.
Hell yeah.
That matters to me for some reason.
Sure. Lexi, what is your second tie?
All right, I'm going to say my second tie is an alley cat that hangs around the same area. I actually gave up. I'd pretty fiercely defended the alleys that I, you know, scrounged in up to this point. But I kind of just took a liking to this cat. And so I kind of gave up my soul control and we kind of help each other out.
All right. I like it.
The vibes are good.
Yeah. Molly, what about you?
I figured out the casino one. I am tied to a man named Lilac Jefferson.
Holy God. Shit!
who is the last person I tipped the odds in favor for where I got caught.
All of you are good at names. Great, I love it. Perfect.
Yeah, still keep in touch with that guy.
Yeah. Maxie, what's Harvey's next one?
I'm going to say Harvey has a tie to Chris, because he's trying to teach Chris how to be cool. And Harvey is an expert.
Great.
Oh, my God.
What's Chris's last tie? So you've satisfied both requirements, so this can be for a player character or...
I kind of want that tie with Harvey to be mutual, because I honestly do think Harvey's cool.
All right. Yep.
Maybe despite better judgment.
Listen,
I mean, I think Maxie described Harvey as constantly wearing a leather jacket with a pinball machine on the back and no shirt underneath.
Okay, Chris would think that was cool.
I think that's cool.
Listen, there's something cool about semi-earned confidence in spite of everything else.
Definitely. Lexi, what is Chili's last tie?
Boy. Thinking of ties for an animal is tough.
I think you can play a little fast and loose with, like, how animal Chili is.
Sure. I'm going to say my last tie is with a nearby restaurant.
Okay.
It's a knockoff, like a fucking cheap ass knockoff of the Spaghetti Factory.
Great.
It's called the Pasta Emporium. Is what
yes.
They call it.
Yes.
A couple of the late night shift waiters would always toss scraps out for local animals. And so, you know, Chili had become accustomed to kind of hanging around there until recently when she discovered there are people nearby who will feed her.
Right. I like that this is like a national chain, but this is the Las Vegas branch that is like way more extravagant than a Spaghetti Factory has any right to be.
Oh yeah, no. Externally, it's flashy as hell.
That.
And then you get inside, and you realize this is like a repurposed Olive Garden.
Apparently, the Spaghetti Factory has a partnership with the Murder Mystery Company to do Murder
what?
Mystery Dinner Theater.
What? Why?
I don't know, but I'm kind of into it.
That's definitely what I want when I'm eating some spaghetti.
I'd have a spaghetti intrigue. Murder mystery, absolutely.
Okay, sure.
Molly, what is your final tie?
It is somebody else in the gang, and her name is Cecilia Citadel. Okay.
God, that's so fucking good!
She's the kind of the one who invited Virginia in, and is a little bit of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? The chain of command-wise is above her, but they get along pretty well. They keep tight.
Yeah.
She's like the George Clooney of the Ocean's 11 you're making.
Sure, yeah. The shitty Ocean's 11.
Maxie, what is Harvey's last tie?
So I'm thinking I want it to be either Virginia or Chili, but I'm not sure which.
Okay. I'll say no one has a tie to Virginia yet.
That's true. Then, yeah, I'll go with Virginia.
All right.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, everyone just loves the fox, Molly. I don't know what to tell you.
Listen, I don't blame them. I was thinking about it.
All right, I think we finished character creation, unless I've forgotten something, Molly.
I don't think so. I'm looking at it, and I think we're about good.
Do you think the Pasta Emporium also has some weird-ass thing it does? Like, I don't know.
It has to.
Magic shows?
But, like, specifically...
Watch me pull this tortellini out of my hat.
Acts that were like turned down at literally every casino.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like people who are all flash and no actual show.
That's how they make the infinite breadsticks work.
I feel like I almost want it to be more esoteric than magic, though, like along the lines of murder mystery.
Yeah,
like,
that's
sword swallower.
Okay. Well, wait. What if they're also trying to capture like the medieval times vibe, and so they do a whole like gimmicky presentation?
They have like a.
I say
a
they're
catwalk.
Like jousting knights. All
they have a catwalk where two Victorian men have a duel with pistols. Instead of the jousting at medieval times.
What time did you say this takes place?
Present day.
Okay, so in this universe, this is what Lin-Manuel Miranda ended up doing.
Get his ass.
I guess I'm adding Lin-Manuel Miranda to the NPC list. I'm not doing
it. Yes, do not.
Do not.
Linguini Manuel Miranda.
Oh, yes, you got him.
All right, yeah, are we ready to like get into this?
Fuck yeah.
I think so.
I'm not. I'm getting a drink of water first. Hey everybody, Luke here. Thanks for listening.
Eidolon Rock will be starting in earnest 2 weeks from now on April 27th. Next week will be the first full episode of Eidolon Pop, which you can listen to right now at patreon.com/EidolonPlaytest. $1 subscribers get episodes a week early, $3 subscribers get a monthly game design podcast with me and Molly, as well as a peek at my GM notes, and $5 subscribers get immediate access to the current draft of Eidolon Become Your Best Self, as well as a shout-out of the podcast. Speaking of which, shoutouts to August, David, Stub5678, and the Z-Mage. Visit AudioEntropy.com for a bunch of other great podcasts featuring many of the folks on this one. You can follow this show on Twitter at Eidolon Podcast. Follow Molly at Your Friend Molly, Dustin at Stilts the GM, Maxi at Maxi Satan, Lexi at Tabletop Gamera, and me at SSJ Speed Racer. Big thanks to Maxi for the Eidolon Rock theme song, Ego Death. See you next time!